This is episode number 171 of the High Impact Leaders Podcast, your shortcut to personal growth and career success. Welcome to High Impact Leaders. I'm your host, Doug Stannard, and my goal is to help you develop your leadership skills and build strong teams as your business grows and grows. Now, although according to government reports, unemployment is still very, very, very low, I was just reading an article in Business News Daily that layoffs are continuing to pile up at a rate that is now approaching the way they were in the early days of the pandemic. So this week, I'm going to cover a few ideas on how to update your resume, just in case you're one of those poor folks who are looking for a new employer. By the way, if you're an entrepreneur who is having to, you know, struggle with laying off some of your staff, then some of these ideas can really help the people that you're having to kind of relocate and that kind of thing as well. By the way, the episode is brought to you by leadersinstitute.com. So for leadership or team building ideas, please visit our website at www.leadersinstitute.com. And if you like the content of the podcast, make sure to leave me a review on your podcast app and make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you download all the episodes on your phone automatically. And also make sure to check out our YouTube channel. Our channel at YouTube is at Leaders Institute, or just search for the Leaders Institute in the search bar. Again, that's at Leaders Institute. All right, so let's get on with today's episode. Hey, so if you want to show the world your expertise in this session, I'm going to show you how to update your resume or any other type of marketing piece that you're putting together, but it's specifically designed to help you with a resume. We'll also cover in later on the session, we'll kind of show you how to update your LinkedIn profile to make it a better marketing tool for you and to really show future employers, whether that is a company or a person at a company that you want to apply with, or whether you're using LinkedIn as a marketing piece for potential customers and that kind of thing. We're going to show you how you can use that to show that you're an expert in your field. Before we get to the technical stuff, though, I'm going to show you how to really avoid falling into the most dangerous trap out there with this type of thing, especially with resumes. By the way, here's a little hint. Your resume should never be about you. What? What else is it going to be about? Right? It is going to be about you, but it's going to be about something related to you that is more in tune with what the other person wants, not about how great you are. Because instead, you want to focus on the problems that you have helped other people solve. Whether that's been an employer or customers or clients, you focus on how you have been a problem solver for those people, and those prospective employers or prospective customers will now kind of see you as being a problem solver, because when they hire you, they're going to have fewer challenges to deal with because you're the person that avoids those problems or challenges happening. So you get put to the top of the list, whether that's a proposal list or a resume list, whatever. So basically, let's go with the first big tip. So instead of making your resume a list of accomplishments, like most people do, this is just my work history and things that I've kind of done. What you really want to do is make it a list of problems that you've solved. So by the way, don't get me wrong, your resume should absolutely be about you and your accomplishments, but just a little bit different than what most people think. If that's all that you highlight, then you really miss out on a great opportunity to set yourself apart from your competition. Basically, human beings tend to all have a few things in common. You know, we like to think that we're a diverse group of people, but we're all human beings, right? Every person on this planet is a human being, and every human being has a few simple things that are in common, no matter what culture you come from, no matter what your background, your experience. The first thing is that we all have problems, right? Every single person on the face of the earth has problems. We also have challenges that we have to deal with. Well, guess what? Your prospective employer or the person who is reading your marketing document they're not a title or a company. They are an actual person. They're a human being. It's an actual human being that has actual problems and actual challenges. So if you kind of keep that in mind and you design your marketing documents, especially your resume, based on that, you're going to be well above your competition in that particular arena anyway. So basically, if we're focusing on a resume, for instance, when that person who's making that hiring decision makes that hiring decision, the main thing that they want to know is basically, will hiring this particular person help me solve a problem, or will hiring this particular person cause more problems for me? And we can assume often anyway that the prospective employer will read our qualifications and automatically conclude that this qualification will be of benefit to the company, right? That's a dumb assumption to make. They very rarely do people actually take that step. And by the way, it's not because the prospective employers aren't smart people. They're, every one of them are very smart people, or most anyway, depending on where you're applying. But many will actually do this. However, if you take this step for the employer, you make that person's job much easier. And when you make that person's job much easier, they like you more, right? So if you do this little simple step, you're now presenting yourself as somebody who can make the job of the employer much easier. That's a huge consideration. It's huge because that main goal is, hey, is this person going to be a problem solver? And heck, he just solved this problem for me. So, okay, maybe it's now lowering the risk of making a bad hiring decision. So the way that you are presenting your information to the employer or to the reader of this document is making his or her job a lot easier. They're seeing you as a problem solver. So basically, one of the things that I suggest people do, whether you're creating a resume or a proposal or whatever it is make a separate resume for each prospective person that you're presenting this to, right? So if I'm looking for a job, I'm not going to create a single resume and send it out to 1,000 different companies. The odds of you getting anything from that, pretty low, right? Instead, I'm going to customize my resume for the specific person at the specific company that's going to be looking at that resume. If I'm doing a sales proposal, I'm doing the same thing. I'm going to customize that specific proposal for that specific person that's going to be reading that proposal. And here's some simple things that you can do that, by the way. If every prospective employer had the same exact problems, a single resume would work. But realistically, though, every reader is going to be looking for something totally different. They're going to be looking for different attributes. So if you can customize the content for that reader, then he or she is likely going to look at your document more favorably. I'll give you a good example of this. A few years ago, I realized that I needed to hire a new website manager for my company, for the Leaders Institute. And just so you know, I'm a geek at heart. I mean, I know a lot of you guys have been listening for 10 minutes, probably already figured that out, right? If you listen for a while, you know that. But I'm very, very, very good at creating websites that rank well in Google searches. This is one of the things I'm good at. You know, you type in public speaking class, public speaking training, leadership development courses, that kind of thing, team building events, you type that stuff into Google. A lot of times my company websites anyway, will pop up to the top. So when I finally realized that I needed help, I mean, the company was growing so much and getting so big that I just couldn't handle it myself anymore, and I needed to hire help. I had a very specific list of criteria that I was using to evaluate candidates. And because I wasn't going to turn over my babies, these websites, I've been working on these for like 15, 20 years, and they've made me millions of dollars. And so I don't want to just turn that over to any Yahoo, right? So I was going to turn my babies over to an outsider, or before I did anyway, I wanted to know that they would be properly cared for, right? So basically in my head, and I probably put this on paper too, but I know it was at least in my head, I had a decision-making hierarchy of what I was looking for in this new website manager. it was basically, I was looking for an expert at search engine optimization, you know, because that's something that I'm pretty good at. I wanted them to be good at search engine optimization as well. It was at the top of the list, but it was something that I would be willing to train somebody to do. So as long as they were into that thing, it would be more important than for them to be highly skilled in that. But the thing that I was really looking for, though, is the ability to hard code a website versus using the builder programs, you know, like we use Divi is our theme, our WordPress theme. And there's a Divi builder, which is awesome. It does some really pretty things, but it also creates a lot of weird code, right? So basically, if somebody overuses those builder programs, it can cause some big problems. And then I was also looking for someone who had expertise in what's called rich text or Google rich text. It's basically those things that kind of pop up that are extra to, you know, like when you type in a search on Google, sometimes it will put additional things. Like for instance, on our websites, we have a presentation class called Fearless Presentations. And if you go to Fearless if you type in like public speaking class Dallas and Fearless Presentations pop up, it will actually list the upcoming classes that with the dates and, you know, how to register and all that kind of stuff in the search engine ranking. So that's a specific type of coding that has to be done on each one of those pages in order to make those things do that. And so I was looking for somebody that was good at that. And then the last thing I was looking for was if the person had some type of audio visual expertise, that'd be a great bonus. You know, I mean, that would be okay. It wouldn't kill them if they didn't have that, but if they did have it, then that could put somebody over the top. You'd be shocked, but over 90% of the resumes, I got over 100 resumes within a couple of weeks, you know, because it's a fairly high profile company, you know? And so the moment that I kind of posted something, I got resumes out the wazoo, applications out the wazoo, but over 90% of those resumes that I reviewed were focused almost entirely on how great they were at making websites look pretty. And only a very, very small percentage of the people that applied hit any of the four main criteria I was looking for. So as a result, most of the resumes were excluded from consideration almost immediately. They didn't do any type of cursory examination, any type of cursory information gathering to try to customize their resume or their application to the thing that I was looking for. And so as a result, it actually made my decision pretty easy because I only had like three or four people to choose from. And so I just picked the best of that group, right? But I mean, that's the thing that tends to happen though. So if you want to be considered, if you want to be put at the top of the list, then it's important to do a little bit of investigation before updating your resume. And it's amazing how much you can find out about the potential employer and what that person values most just by looking at some things that are right there at your disposal. Sometimes it's just in the job description, for God's sakes, right? But you can make adjustments to your resume now that will actually favor you. And by the way, often you can find the details. I kind of mentioned a couple of seconds ago about the job posting. A lot of the details are right there in the job posting. Like for instance, every company is different and every interviewer is going to have different challenges. They're going to have different wants. They're going to have different needs. And unfortunately, a lot of times these challenges, these wants and needs are rarely kind of published alongside the job description. It's not going to say, hey, so for this position, this is the criteria that I'm using to hire these people. It doesn't come out and say that, but in my own example, even though I never publicized that criteria, those were things that I was looking for. I didn't kind of put that anywhere though. If any of them looked at the job posting, if they looked at the items that were in the job posting, all they have to do is kind of say, okay, well, these are the required skills. Why is he, those are kind of unique skills that he's looking for. Those are things that are kind of unique. Why did he put that one at number one? And why is that, you know, why are they in this order? And why did he list those specific things? Because at the very top, the very first line of the job posting that I posted was, our CEO is an expert at search engine optimization, and he's ready to train an eager web specialist. That was the first line of the posting, right? So that should give them a clue that search engine stuff is going to be really important to me, right? And I also put a list of required skills, including, you know, they had to be good at Google Page Speed Insights, which is what measures the page speed of a website. Google My Business, which is for local searches. You know, we have a lot of offices, so we want to make sure that those show up on their local searches in their areas, that kind of thing. And then the rich text format, which is what I was talking about before for our events and things like that. So those were listed in three. I think those were three of the top four things that I kind of put on the job requirements. And most people look at that list of requirements and they just think, oh, I got that one. I'm okay at that one. Probably need to fudge a little bit on that one, right? They're thinking about themselves, right? What they should be doing is looking at that list and saying, why is that one at the top of the list? These requirements are huge clues as to the criteria that the decision maker is going to use to make that hiring decision. And once you kind of understand that and you're able to adjust your resume for that specific need of that specific person, makes it a whole lot easier. In fact, if they give you a list like this, then by all means, use that list to update your resume. Because with that list, the candidate can go to his or her job experience and highlight their expertise in each one of those areas. For instance, if the candidate had put something, I don't know, just anything like at XYZ company, I led a team that modernized our website's WordPress theme. And even though we added stunning pictures and video, we were also able to double the Google page speed percentage. Something like that, that I'm like, oh gosh, that person knows how to do what I'm trying to do with my website. So, okay, this person's an expert that it doubled the speed. That's what I'm looking for. Boom, they got a notch now and they're at the top of the list. So being able to put things like that in your experience or verifying your experience with the jobs that you've done in the past anyway, and being able to highlight examples of how you've helped overcome challenges in the areas that are listed in the job posting will do a whole lot, put you at the top of the list. Because, I mean, the real point here is that the interviewer will often give you clues in the job posting. In addition to that, though, another thing that you're likely going to want to do before you even start updating your resume or the document is you want to research both your prospective company and the prospective interviewer, the person who's actually doing the interview, to determine the problems that person can help you with, that you can help them with anyway. So it's easy. All you really have to do, at least just do a Google search for the company and the person that is going to be interviewing you. And specifically pay close attention to postings on social media, see what's in the company's social media postings and see what's in that person's social media postings. And all of that kind of stuff will help you do better at picking out specific things that are important to that person and to the company. So let me give you a list. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go over this in kind of a cursory fashion here. I kind of tell you the list of research that you can kind of do when you are putting together your resume. And then and next week, we're going to talk about how to actually use this content to update the resume in a more formal kind of way, how to use Canva and some of the other software packages that are out there a lot of these things are free. You can actually use these things to help create some stunning resumes or documents. And then in addition to that, next week, we're also going to talk about how you can use LinkedIn to help you create a better marketing piece as well, because that's one of the first things that they're going to do for you. I'm going to show you how you can research them. Guess what they're going to do about you? They're going to research you as well. They're going to look you up. So, but these are things that you should probably do before you send this organization, this person, your resume. You want to do a Google search for the company name. And after you do a cursory search for the company name in Google, another thing that you can do is there's a little button at the bottom of the search bar in Google where you can select news. It's in the same place that videos and images and stuff like that are. But if you hit news, you'll see what's trending with that company. So if the company has put out press releases, or if there have been any articles written about that organization, that company, then you can kind of see what they're most known for. The next thing that I would encourage you to do is do a search for that company, and then also put the words corporate values or core values at the end of the company name and do a search for that. Most of the time you're going to end up on the About Us page of that company, and it'll tell you, these are our core values, or these are our five main values for if you work at such and such company, right? That will help you know, number one, whether or not this is a good fit for you, whether or not you want to take the time to customize your resume for this organization. And if it is a good fit, then show in your resume how you use those values in your own experience. So basically, if one of the values is customer service, let's just say that's one of the things that pops up, then show it how you service customers really effectively in each of those positions, or at least in a few of those positions that you that you've had in the past. So whatever it is that shows up on their values, show how you how you have that particular value and how you're really good at doing that thing. Another thing that you want to do is do a Google search for the interviewer, the person who's actually going to be interviewing you, because that will help you kind of find out a little bit more about that person. A lot of times you'll see their social media. One of the first things, if they are a professional business person of some type, a lot of times their LinkedIn profile will show up. And if it doesn't show up at the top, then you might try going to LinkedIn and search for their name and see if they pop up. But what you're looking for is, especially on their LinkedIn profile, is you're looking for clues that will help you identify what kind of challenges or problems that this person is facing that you, in your position, your expertise can kind of help them with. So another big thing. And the last thing that you want to do is once you find that person's LinkedIn profile and you have the title of that person, do a search on Google for that title. Just kind of, let's say the person, I'll give you an example. Let's say that the person's title was talent developer. Right? That's the person who's doing the interviewing. And so if I type that word, that title into Google, talent developer, if I just type that into Google, I did a search for that when I was researching for the topic here. And basically the results that I got back from Google was the first thing that popped up was why talent developers are the most important people in your company. And then the second thing was, are you a talent developer or a talent waster? And the next one was developing your organization's brand as a talent developer. And each of those articles can give you insights as to what challenges that interviewer, the person that's going to be interviewing you, may experience on a day-to-day basis. And if you can gear your resume content to that, or at least put some of that stuff into the cover letter, then it's going to put you at the top of the list and get you to the interview, which is the most important thing. All right. So this is a good place to stop. Next week, we're going to kind of show you how to take that content and really update your resume. And then we're also going to go into more details about how to update your LinkedIn profile to make you a highly sought after person as well. So we'll cover those two things next week. All right. So thanks a lot for being a part of High Impact Leaders, y'all. Make sure and hit the subscribe button, and we'll see you next week. Bye, y'all.